It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Well, we'll ask Sal here. Already today, Bulldog and I have drawn comparisons. Sean McDermott this morning versus Sean McDermott last week when he had an injury list. And he had sort of an edge to him, it seemed. And I think maybe that's true today, too. But I wasn't there. Sal Capaccio with us now on the West Her Hotline. I think we're looking for that other safety, is one quote from McDermott today. Mm-hmm. Not exactly Sal, you know, pretending or even sort of just like softening when it comes to what his concern really might be at that position.
No, you're right. I think the wording is really interesting. And after the game, he said, we still have to see what we need there. And now today, saying we're still looking. Look, I think that their first place to look is still what they believe is in-house, right? They want that to work. They want it to work with Cole Bishop. They still have a few weeks here, a little bit less than 3 weeks, to have themselves feel comfortable about where he is with Taylor Rapp, or at least comfortable enough where he's the guy. And if not, is it Jordan Hancock? Is it Cam Lewis who's on the roster, right? I mean, is it Derek Forrest? There's still in-house candidates that I think are the number one options here to make it work. But that starts with Cole Bishop being available. It starts with Cole Bishop obviously being on the field and, you know, seeing him perform in practice, much less maybe a game on Saturday where you have one game left there. From there, who knows? If you don't feel comfortable there, what are the options? Are you looking to sign somebody as a free agent? Are you looking to trade for somebody? A week from right now, guys, literally a week from 6 minutes ago, is the roster cutdown date. And like that's when maybe things shake free. But at that point, are you bringing someone in to start, you know, less than 2 weeks later against the Baltimore Ravens? I doubt it.
Right, yeah. What do you suppose – how curious do you find it that McDermott is being as blunt as he is about this? I asked Mike earlier, does this not sound like somewhat of a departure for him? I mean, I appreciate the honesty, but he's making no bones about the fact that a team that has Super Bowl, big-time Super Bowl aspirations, isn't real sure about a starting spot less than three weeks away from a game. I find that kind of startling.
Yeah, I agree with you on one sense, which is like that's pretty out there and honest and upfront when a lot of times you get more generalities when it comes to mm-hmm. things like that. I also think that he's saying it because I think there's messaging going on, right? Which is it like we talked even about like Curtis Samuel and saying like mm-hmm. it's go time and getting back on the field. I think this is messaging to Cole Bishop. It's messaging to everybody in the room that it's on. We need someone here to step up. We need someone here to show us. Cole Bishop, show us you can be available. Show us you know exactly what you're doing. Jordan Hancock, you keep progressing as a rookie. You need to step up. Like this is now a time where this is open, and we're still looking for it, and we're still looking at it. So I agree with you that it is a bit of a departure there from the way he normally talks, but I think there's some messaging going on through the media as well, the way I interpret it, kind of the way he's doing this.
What do you see in Bishop here, Sal? I mean, some of this, if not most of it, is about reliability. You know, this is also a player that's been unavailable to McDermott, which I think was a lot of his frustration, how he sounded last week. And really today, it's an important part, I think, of what he said about Bishop and his options at safety. What about this player? Like, what you think he's shown to this point, and how much of this uncertainty, maybe to put it mildly, at the position has to do with injuries, and how much of it might have to do with performance?
Well, I think that the injuries are a really big deal because he does not have all of that time on task they talk about, all of that chemistry developing with Taylor Rapp or anybody else next to him. I know DeMar and him more so, you know, playing a little bit last year when he started to get back and other guys. But anyway, I do think the performance has been lacking, though, when he's been on the field a little bit. Sunday night was a bit of an example of that. I mean, there was a couple of plays where he's got to be able to make that play. In the AFC Championship game against the Kansas City Chiefs, there was a very controversial play that he could have made against Xavier Worthy. They gave Xavier Worthy the catch. You guys remember that play. Mm-hmm. But little things like that, like those are little plays where maybe you're just a little bit tick off on what you could make in that situation. So I do think that the play – now, look, it hasn't all been bad. I remember going back last year and thinking, oh, boy, that was a nice run fit by Cole Bishop, like in a couple games he played. So I do think that it's there. And I think McDermott even said that today. Like, he said today – and I have to go back and get the exact quote – something like we've seen that talent and ability. Like, that's shown up. It has to be, like, more consistent. And I agree with that, but he's got to be available for that consistency to show up, and I think that's part of the problem.
Right, yeah. The injuries prohibit him from developing any kind of consistency because he just doesn't have the opportunity to be out there. So it's all one big ball of frustration. Boy, the timing on Hancock getting hurt is really tough because I feel like for him and maybe even for the team, they might have been opening the door for him to walk right through if he could play in this game in Tampa, and that's even in doubt now because he got hurt in the third quarter of the game on Sunday, right?
Yes. McDermott said that the indications are he doesn't think he'll be ready for the game this week. So good news that, you know, saying it that way kind of leads me to believe he should be pretty available after that.
Right.
And no concerns for week one. He was on the exercise bike today. He was out there on the side doing some work. So that's good news. That's encouraging. But no doubt you'd love to see him be able to play and get reps on Saturday to truly see what you have.
You know, this might just be indulgent because we've talked about this so many times. It's not even relevant anymore. But it does this, you know, quandary the Bills have at safety. It takes me back to Hyde and Poyer. And it was never, I mean, I did my best to not take them for granted when it came to the Bills. You know, like they tell you, like I referenced earlier to Bulldog, how, hey, make sure you're focused on your kids because before you know it, they'll have moved out. And like, what more can I do here besides constantly think about that? I mean, it's just, there's only so much you can do. And when Hyde and Poyer were on the field, Sal, they never missed a play. You got everything. You had reliability, you had leadership, you had everything. Plays. And it makes sense to think that when that is over, you'd have it. It could be a little bit bumpy. It doesn't have to be. But this can make you really appreciate how good you had it.
I agree. And Sean was asked that today about those guys and having them and the consistency and, you know, how important it is to develop that. And there's no doubt. And nobody's ever shied away from that. And the Bills have always talked openly about that. But I think that from fans and media, from the outside looking in, you say, you know, taking for granted, didn't want to, but surely, you know, there's some of that, right? Because it was just so consistent all the time. You knew those guys were back there, and they were such the backbone of what the Buffalo Bills did. And even if you go back to, I think part of it, too, is you go back to Sean McDermott's days in Carolina. You go back to Sean McDermott's days in Philadelphia. It's always seemed like that position has been pretty buttoned up for him, right? Maybe save a year here, a year there. You go back to all his time through what you just said with Poyer and Hyde here. As a defensive coach, he's just always had good safety units. And I think it's because he's had good talent. I also think it's because he's a good defensive coach, and especially for that particular group. So I think that's where a lot of this comes in, where here you have this coach who's done a really excellent job with that position group, and he's had these talented players. And I don't think all of it is just the players' talent walking in. And let's remember, guys, Jordan Poyer was kind of thrown into the trash heap by both Cleveland and Philadelphia before he came to Buffalo.
Yeah.
Right? Micah Hyde, they let him go. Green Bay said, let him go sign with the Buffalo Bills. I don't think you just say, well, he's had these guys who just walk in and be great safeties and make them look good. I don't think that's the case at all.
That's right.
And I think that's part of the frustration overall, which is this should be a position, and it's always been a position for this particular coach, where they've been really good at developing players and having good players.
Well, we know this much, or we can guess. In 19 days, Bishop will cut in front of a slanting Isaiah Likely and pick off Lamar Jackson so that we can hear Chris Collinsworth lay into everybody for questioning him and not mention that it's actually his own coach doing it. But, you know, if we have to take that bullet,
right,
then we will.
Do you think Isaiah Likely is going to play week one?
Okay, I should have picked someone else. That's, mm-hmm. That's
Rashad Bateman.
Right.
How's that?
Fine.
Okay. Good.
My mistake.
What are you doing with Bishop on Bateman? Sorry. Sal, where is Derek Forrest in all of this? Because, it's a second offseason in a row where, you know, last year was the first year they were going to be without Hyde and Poyer as a tandem, and they brought Mike Edwards in, veteran guy, familiarity with system, all that kind of stuff, and a lot of the same things were said about Forrest this year, and, you know, neither guy, like Edwards was a ghost with this team last year. And it feels to me Forrest played, you know, I think 30 some snaps on Sunday, but I don't know. Like, I don't feel like he's really an option. Am I overlooking him, or has he been kind of a nothing burger this summer?
Yeah, I don't feel like he's much of an option. I don't think he's really stepped up and taken a hold of a role that might have been there for him to be able to do that. Feels to me like he's more of a kind of like break glass in case of emergency, depth guy, special teams player. At this point, if I'm projecting out of 53, he's probably pretty much right at that cut line, and I have to decide, is he going on? Is he not going on? He's probably that guy, and part of that is because they have Cam Lewis, guys, mm-hmm. and Cam Lewis, and DeMar Hamlin, obviously, right? And I think DeMar Hamlin right now is the third safety. That's what he is. So if you're not going to have Cole Bishop, and maybe it could be Jordan Hancock when he's healthy, right? But DeMar Hamlin's a guy that out of the next group, you're looking at Taylor Rapp, Cole Bishop, I think DeMar Hamlin, and Jordan Hancock, because I think Cam Lewis is more of your backup nickel who can play safety. Where does that leave Derek Forrest? I just don't think there's a spot for him right now in this roster the way I look at it.
Sal Capaccio on the West Herr Hotline. Some roster movement. I want to ask you about Gabe Davis here in that report in a minute, but we have, is it Caden Prather is gone, the seventh round pick? What else is new?
Yeah, let me explain how this is going to work now with Caden Prather, the seventh round wide receiver they chose. He is... He has been waived injured, and the reason why he's been waived injured, the reason we have to put it that way, is because all players who have less than 4 years have to be put on waivers before they can put on injured reserve at this time of year. So he has to actually clear waivers, so they waive him with an injury designation. By tomorrow afternoon, any team can claim him, and he will go to that team. But because he's injured, a team would have to be confident enough to claim him and put him on the roster, and they're going to have to make decisions on him anyway. So most likely, I would say at this point, he clears waivers. What happens then? He comes back to the Bills. He reverts back to the Bills, and then the Bills can put him on injured reserve, and he just stays on there all year. And then he gets a redshirt year, and he could stay on there. Or they could say, not really a guy that we want, and they can give him an injury settlement. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's still on the Bills but on IR for his entire rookie year.
And what else happened roster-wise today? Because there's a running back that was brought in who almost immediately got hurt, I think I read.
Jarvion Howard is his name, and the Bills signed him. I believe he had played a little bit in the UFL, but he was with the Packers, I think, as well. We go out to practice. I mean, I don't know how injured he was, but right away, pretty early on, I see him talking with trainers, looking at his calf, and he was on the sidelines with trainers. So not really sure where that went, that may be something that they're going to have to revisit here in another way. We'll see where it goes. Grant Dubose also signed. I would think that both these guys, if healthy, are really to kind of help you get through this week. You need guys to get through this week. You need guys. You're not going to be putting the top end of your depth chart out on the field, most likely. I don't think starters are going to play. And even then, you want to back off on the next wave of guys if you can as much as possible. So you're going to need guys in the back end of the depth chart to make sure they eat up some snaps this week.
Did I see the name Ricky Person? Was he looked at? What was that today? Running back? I saw his name.
I believe he was in for a visit. Yeah. I believe he was in for
maybe he's next man up with this guy that just got hurt, right?
Maybe. By the way, Darrington Evans was placed on injured reserve. Now, he does not have to go through waivers because he's been in the league longer than 4 years. So in his case, the Bills just put him right on injured reserve, and then at some point, if they want, they can come up with an injury settlement, and then he would be free to sign with another team.
Bulldog, the other day in the main event, fantasy, $2,000 entry, a guy picked Ricky Person, meaning to pick Ricky Pearsall.
Oh, boy.
And... raised his hand in the chat and said,
I thought about this.
Misclick, sorry. And they wouldn't undo it because they don't undo it for misclicks. Like, you can tell them your power went out, they'll fix it for you.
Yeah.
So the guy ended up picking Pearsall in the next round. Had to have him.
Wow. So how about Gabe Davis, Sal? What do you make of his visiting, what Allen had to say about the idea? What kind of role, if it were to go really well? I mean, obviously everyone knows one another here. What do you make of him coming in for a visit?
It's interesting. I think that this is – there's a lot of ways to look at this. Is it because the Bills don't have confidence in the players they have? Sure, you could look at it that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, Sean McDermott said today the top three on the depth chart are pretty set at wide receiver. After that, they're figuring it out. Well, I think that opens up the door for Gabe Davis or anyone to kind of, if there's somebody out there they feel can help this team, they bring them in. And that's what the job is of the general manager, to figure out if there is somebody who can come in to help the team. Gabe Davis was released with an injury designation back in May. He is still rehabbing that injury, from what I understand. He's getting close, you know, to being healthy enough, and maybe he is healthy enough. And what I'm trying to say is, like, teams have been reluctant to sign him, I think, because he just hasn't been fully healthy. But who knows? Maybe he goes to Pittsburgh today. They look at him. He's healthy. He comes to Buffalo. They look at him. He's healthy. At some point here, there's going to be a time where Gabe Davis is going to present to teams that he's healthy enough, and teams are going to have to make a decision. Is that today? I don't know. It seems like it's a little premature because, A, first and foremost, you'd have to make sure the guy is healthy. And then secondly, you know, you're coming down to next week is roster cuts. I read this as the Bills are going to do their due diligence on Gabe Davis. Why Gabe Davis? Well, he's a guy that they drafted, they developed. They would have loved to have kept him, but obviously he got paid, and there's nothing wrong with that, and he went somewhere else. He is a guy that fits everything about what they like. For right or wrong, and I know he's a very polarizing player for Buffalo Bills fans, Gabe Davis won the Iron Bill 2 years in a row. He hardly ever came off the field because he's a willing blocker. He checks all the boxes that the Buffalo Bills love about having a wide receiver, and especially a guy they developed. Does not surprise me at all that they would revisit a guy like Gabe Davis in that situation. The money-wise, well, he was already paid $11.5 million by the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's got that money. He's got that cash. Any money he signs with another team just offsets that, but he's getting paid that money this year. So really, I would think any team who wants to sign him could just say, we'll give you the vet minimum, which is $1.2 million, I believe, and that's all you got to take on your cap. So it makes it pretty palatable if a team wants to do that. And then for the me, what might really happen here is you check him out, you see if he's healthy. And if he is, maybe you wait to see what shakes free next Tuesday or where you are in that process leading up to it. And then you decide if that's a player you want versus somebody else who might be out there.
Right. I feel like having him, knowing where he's at, trusting him is even, you know, if he doesn't get signed imminently here, then it's something if it comes up even sometime between cut down and the opener. At least that's a guy you know that's pretty plug and play in your system. The question I'm curious about is, I don't believe he ever, was he a special teamer at all? Like, could he be Mac Hollins for this team?
I don't think so. No, I don't remember him playing a lot of special teams, maybe early in his career, to be honest with you.
Right.
It doesn't feel like he would be that type of player, though.
Okay.
Did you guys think, I don't know how much football you watched over the few days. Did you guys think that we saw enough evidence in week two of the preseason that teams really don't want to kick touchbacks? It seemed like every kickoff I saw, maybe kickers are working on it, especially, you know, point of emphasis, not into the end zone on the fly. And it seemed like every kickoff I saw was that.
I saw a lot of line drive kickoffs.
Yeah, do you guys have, Mike, do you have any actual data on it so far right now?
No.
Do you know that?
I don't. I'm not into data. I just like to sort of take guesses and watch.
Well, because I am curious, because what I was going to say is if you do have the data, I do think what you're saying is right. Like, I think that teams are going to not kick touchbacks as much. However, I'm willing to bet you that you see more in the regular season than you do now. One of the reasons why teams are not doing it as much now would be they want to evaluate their guys on special teams.
Good point, yep.
Not just the kicker. Like, you got to see, if I'm going to keep a guy at the back end of my roster, can he make a tackle when that ball isn't kicked in the end zone? If I'm going to keep a guy in my roster, can he block a guy when my guy's got to return it behind him? So I think that teams are intentionally not kicking it in the end zone right now because they're trying to figure out what they want to do. They don't want to give up the field position, but maybe most importantly is they're trying to evaluate their roster.
Bills didn't get much of a chance to evaluate this on Sunday night. One kickoff was the opening kickoff of the game, and they didn't score.
Only got to the 7 yard line.
Right. The Bears, right. And then they went right down the field.
Yeah, because that guy touched the ball, and then it went in the end zone, and he had to bring it out. Right. Yeah.
Well, see, he did not have to. See, that's a great learning point for him.
Okay, 20. Could have been the 20, right?
That's correct. He could have knelt him on the 20, but it's also a good talking point for all of us, right? Because what happens in that situation with all these new rules? He could have knelt on it, and he would have got the ball at the 20. Credit for Eric Wood, by the way. He was on it. He knew right away what the rule was. But I don't know if the Bears guy knew what the rule was.
Right.
Maybe not. Didn't slow him down.
No.
That's right. That's how the game started. Okay. Is there practice tomorrow? I think yes.
Yes, practice tomorrow. Back on the field tomorrow. We did have some, you know, notes as far as injury updates for today. Keontae Jenkins, Connor McGovern, Nelson Caesar, Eddie Ulofosio, and Javon Solomon all, I believe, were in the day-to-day bucket. The limited bucket.
Mm-hmm.
I did see Connor McGovern doing some stuff, individual work today, so that was good. And we saw Curtis Samuel out there doing both 11-on-11 and 7-on-7 today, and that's really encouraging. They need him, you know, to be out there and performing, and he actually even took a short pass and went a long way on one of them, which was nice to see.
Right, and didn't McDermott even say that he would be limited, but you said yes. You saw him doing everything. So that
and he still could have been limited in the what he normally would do stuff, you know what I mean?
Right.
But
right.
Yes, I saw him during the team portion doing
right.
Playing in both 7-on-7 and 11-on-11. Reps-wise, I don't know, maybe they limited him, but he definitely did all that.
He'll be interesting Saturday. I mean, the echo chamber right now is everybody telling each other they think he might get cut, right, Samuel? So here's a veteran in the final preseason game. Is there something they're going to need to see in this game? Has it been decided? I wonder. Because you're still – I mean, I'm guessing you're not seeing Allen again. Maybe you do, but he hasn't played yet. And, I mean, Elijah Moore had a pass at his feet, like a drop maybe even you'd call it early in that game. Nothing is happening. With these guys, we've been trying to figure out all offseason who's competing with whom and what the pecking order is. Nothing is happening for them. We had a couple of plays against the Giants. You had a couple of big hits against the Giants with Shavers and Hamler. But past that, that's not confusing to hear McDermott talk like after the top three, they got to figure it out.
Right.
You know, because we don't know yet what it really is. Okay, thank you, Sal. We'll talk again tomorrow.
Thanks, guys.
That's our man, Sal Capaccio, on the Western Hotline. His appearances are brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
803-0550 for your calls. Cole Bishop, a topic of conversation. We spent a lot of time on Sean McDermott's declared concern at safety as we started today. The Gabe Davis idea is interesting, too. We'll get to that and maybe hear from you next. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.